This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro.
Boy, I from Baton. Good night, Bahamas, bro. And welcome to another edition of Inside Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on this wonderful station, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. And like I said, I have many nicknames: Scroogey, Scrooge, Daddy, Mayor, Governor. I have so many names that so many people call me. They call me so many names because I've guessed that over the years, a lot of people respect me. And I think you earn those names, especially when the kids and everyone else who are younger and older than you are saying these things to you, so it makes you feel real good. Telephone numbers tonight, 323-622-3253-416 and 325-4259, and you can text us at 422-GR96, and you can listen in to 961 or 969. Sometimes the 969 don't be in. You can normally hear us on 961 as well. That's the sister station on Guardian Quest. And it's a wonderful to be here tonight. And all of you who listen at this particular time, especially, you know, this is Friday and everyone gets paid. A lot of people listen to the local bars. They listen home to the show. You know, they sit down in the yard, play dominoes. It's amazing that so many people are tuning into the show because I represent each and every one of you. Your voice might not be heard, but I speak for each and every one of you because I come from you guys. You know, being there, I'm trying to better myself. I'm trying to better my community. I'm trying to give the most advice to the powers to be in the country to make the right choices and the right decision and to put an emphasis on the people in the country, you know. There's a lot of stuff going on in our country. You know, we need tougher gun sentence in the Guardian. Over here, we have in the Tribune, we have 1 in 4 women victims of violence. And I'm going to show you that all this in both newspapers and what the Prime Minister in Brentwood, you know, Brentwood is responding, saying something towards the governing party and the Prime Minister and his administration. And I want to comment on all of that, and I want to show you how all that ties in. But this was what amazes me about this whole dilemma. I don't have a political party, okay? Many years ago, I was a diehard PLP. But I understand that, you know, being diehard is one thing, but nation building is a whole different thing. And I've decided to become a person who just tries to make a difference in the country by working with any party that comes into power as long as it's going to be beneficial to the Bahamian people. But I'll always voice my opinion if I feel like the governing party is not doing the right thing. And I always put fairness where fairness should be put, and I put wrong where wrong should be put. And I don't take up for either party. I talk about what they're doing right. I talk about what they're doing wrong in the party. And that's how it's supposed to be when we live in a democratic society. And it's also good for us as a nation to be transparent because you you would get the blessing from God by being honest. But, you know, many of our institute and many of us as individuals are not honest and have integrity. And because of that, we are being punished. We might not know why, but there are powers to be that are punishing us. So, you know, it's just a pleasure to be a guest tonight. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight, you know, because I know it's very busy. But before I begin the show, I want to congratulate Guardian Radio on its 12-year anniversary on a job well done. Over the course of the years, I've been here 10 years now, I can't believe it. I think the oldest show on the station is Dwight Scrawn, Morning Blend. And Dwight has been there from the inception. He is a tremendous radio host. He's also working in the publishing department. He's the general manager of Guardian Radio, and he has a variety of different topics that he talks on his show, along with Stephen Hanna and many of Palm and many of those who come on the show early in the morning. And it's very enlightening to hear the different aspects of the Bahamas and the world based on the extraordinary guests that he has on his show on a regular basis. Not to say, you know, there's a lot of other great guests come on, but just to listen to the conversation early in the morning, you know, and he be on for 4 hours. And he's been doing such a tremendous job over the years, and I want to congratulate him on a job well done. You know, I listen in sometimes in the morning, you know, just to listen to what's going on around the country, you know, listen to the guests he has on. So I learn a lot as well. Also, former talk show host, we had Chrissy Love, who, you know, made a station one of the popular stations in the country, you know, along with Carlton Smith. So we can't forget about those guys. Chrissy Love played an important role in Guardian Radio, and I wish her the best. Carlton Smith, he's working at Oracle. We also have the late, our late talk show host who just left lately, Juan McCartney, who was very popular on the airways, and many people love Juan McCartney, you know, and he did a phenomenal job. Now, himself is employed, you know, somewhere else, but, you know, all of them has contributed to the station and to the country, and no one was politically inclined, and everyone was speaking for the people. So I applaud Guardian Radio for allowing people to, the talk show hosts and the callers to actually express themselves, you know. And by doing that, Guardian Radio has transformed into more, not a political party, but someone who political leaders listen to. And we also become a opposition for the governing party if they're doing something wrong. So most of the talk shows that comes on the show would speak up for what's wrong in the country. And that's the thing I love about Guardian Radio. You know, also Naughty. You know, he does a tremendous job. You know, he talks sports, but he also talks about what's right and what's wrong in the country. So that's very, very good. I want to congratulate him also. C. Nuri, Avery Green, them two, you know, they're a fantastic combo together. I want to also congratulate them as well for doing a splendid job. You know, listening to them from 11 to 12. You know, the one I think, they just have a variety of different topics and, you know, back and forth, but very intriguing. You know, congratulations to our producer, Arlington Roll, for being here from the inception. He, you know, has also helped us, you know, because without the producers, you know, us as talk show hosts wouldn't stand a chance, you know, Kermit, you know, and et cetera. And to all the former employees of Guardian Radio, you guys are legends. And I hope that Guardian Radio continues to be the number one station in the country. I hope we continue to be opposition for what's wrong in the country and speak up for what's right in the country. And I applaud all of the talk show hosts that comes on this radio who speaks for the less fortunate, the opposition, you know, what's wrong in the country. And if you could imagine, if we keep this up at a pace and we're all on one cylinder and we're speaking out on these matters, what we can do as radio talk show hosts. We could guide the country, and the people would be supporting the radio talk shows by using the airways to express themselves. And this, in turn, you become an advocate. You know, so I want to applaud Guardian Radio on a job well done. Okay? So today's show, we're going to talk about the state of the nation. Earlier, I talked about, there was an interview on Guardian Radio. I think it was Brendan McCartney, and then it was a response from the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis. And what surprises me about one former parliamentary and one current prime minister, is the fact that Mr. McCartney, and this is no disrespect to Mr. McCartney, it seems to me that they don't understand the importance of being a leader. A leader is not just about you saying and you trying to be elected to be the next government or voicing your opinion for a former leader or somebody and encouraging the Bahamian population to give people a second chance. Yes, everyone is deserving a second and third chance. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact of the matter is, when you get elected, when you have the power to change the lives of the citizen of the country, that you, he or she, pride yourself on to go on an election campaign, to speak on the airwaves, to go on ZNS, to come on Guardian Radio, to go on our Steve McKinney show, you know, just to advocate and ask the Bahamian people to give you a chance. But before you do all that, look at the fact that we have 100 murders per year in the last 15, 20 years. And before that, we had like 80-something and 70-something and all were records. Look at the fact that we have a record-breaking 9.7 million tourists comes to the Bahamas, okay? Record-breaking, we're on pace to probably break that this year, okay? And we have high unemployment in this country, okay? We have close to about 1,700 inmates at the prison. And we cannot break down the numbers percentage-wise because we're not doing the right thing. We have an old, updated hospital, over 70 years. And how many of us, who you politicians, asked us to give you all a chance? And some of us are fool enough to be street generals and captains and start a council just to get a contract. There's nothing wrong with that. But think about this picture, people. When your grandmother or your sister or someone in your family is sick, okay? When they arrive at the Princess Margaret Hospital, which is over 70 years of age, that's what I want Mr. McCartney and the Honorable Prime Minister to understand. This is no time to be playing no games with either you, Mr. Prime Minister, or you, Brendan McCartney, who had power, and you know, the position, circumstances, the numbers, the statistics, whatever you want to call it, that has been plaguing the Bahamian society for the last 45 to 50 years in this country. Okay? When my grandmother, Lavis Brown, who is an honest, law-abiding citizen of the country before she passed away, when I used to go visit her by the Princess Margaret Hospital, you know, when she got sick, before she passed away. And she had to sit in a gurney in the middle of the hospital and looking up at the light for hours, and there's no hospital bed. You know? And that's not just my grandmother. Each and every one of you who listen to the show have a family member who was in hospital who went through the same type of treatment. When we are one of the richest countries in the world, when we have outgrown the population of that hospital over 40 years ago, okay? Over 40 years ago, we outgrown that hospital. You know, and when our grandmothers and our mothers and our aunties on their dying bed have to sit down and go through that type of treatment that they have to go through at the Princess Margaret Hospital. And many of us get mad at the nurses and doctors, you know, but we have to understand something too. They're overworked, underpaid, and unappreciated. All our money goes to politics. But the first line of defenders, like the nurses and the doctors and the garbage collectors and the teachers, they are underpaid in this country. So if they're underpaid and overworked, what you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to be in a good mood and they do their best at the Princess Margaret Hospital when they're overwhelmed with different customers? I mean, different patients coming to the hospital. Could you imagine a hospital that's being built for built over 70 years now, people? The population of the Bahamas around that time, I think the hospital was built in 1950-something. Okay? Think about this. It was built for a population, I think, close to over 100,000 people. And Wolf Road and certain places like Pinewood Garden and Yellow Ella Garden and these subdivisions that are around now, like Neil Ellis Estate and all these prior to state, they were not around. So the majority of people were living inside the perimeters. And then these new subdivision come. You could imagine putting a screen on the Princess Margaret Hospital. Then we have a high health issue on the way we eat. So we have diabetes now. We get cancer now. High blood pressure, you know. So all these things now, we have at one hospital when the population has grown over 200 to 300,000 people. So how in the world? Think about this. How in the world you expect the doctors and nurses and all those, that staff at that hospital to be able to deal with a lot of these problems they face at the hospital? Sometimes they leave all kind of surgical instruments inside the patients. That's because they have fatigue, you know? Overwork, and when you're overwork, you will make mistakes. We're seeing where patients have died at the Princess Margaret Hospital. And you understand? And we wonder why. Because the nurses and the doctors are overworked because the hospital cannot deal with the volume of people that are going to the hospital on a regular basis. That's why there's no hospital bed. So I hear this administration saying that they're going to build a new hospital. I give them a thumbs up for that. So let me get back to what I was saying. That's why I don't be into these leaders. You understand? You all know what the problem was from day one. So, Mr. McCartney, with enough respect for you as a citizen, okay? Your brother got killed a few years ago, along with hundreds of behemoths in this country. So you know exactly what's going on. And you're begging the behemoth people to give the former Prime Minister, Cupid Alexander Menace, a second chance. And then Mr. Prime Minister responds. So we're going to play this flick. Ali, you going to play the flick, please? We're going to play this little flick. And then we're going to have a little conversation on this before we go to we need tougher gun sentence. Because all this ties in. And then one in four women victims. One in every four women in the Bahamas are victims of violence. Go ahead, Mr. Roll.
Days after former Democratic National Alliance leader Branville McCartney said Dr. Cupid Menace should get a second shot as prime minister because his agenda was disrupted by COVID-19 and Hurricane Dorian, Prime Minister Philip Davis asserted he has also inherited challenges during his term, but his administration is working to overcome them.
Look at what I've inherited. When I came into office, I inherited a financial crisis. I inherited a health crisis, and of course, I inherited this old high cost of living crisis. And we're dealing with all of them. And I know they are baffled and confused by how we can have the successes that we've been having because of what we've done to help the least amongst us, like cutting taxes back then from 12 to 10, like raising the minimum wage.
McCartney, who served as a cabinet minister in the Ingram administration before resigning and leaving the Free National Movement to form the DNA, said he believes the Menace administration can do a better job than the Davis administration. However, the prime minister told reporters his detractors are baffled by his government success.
I know they are baffled by all those things, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to get into their business. What I do say is that we all dealt a particular hand. For example, you see the state of the drainage system in New Providence. It's been particularly on this side. This is what I've inherited. It has to be fixed. And this is not a now problem. This is a problem that you heard the engineer speaking about. It's a decades of problem, many years. It's decrepit. I inherited a country that's at the that is at the brink of collapsing infrastructure. The hospital, which is 70 years old, right? The BPL and its challenges, where the grid is more than 40, 50 years old, and we have to find answers for these things.
However, he said he's not complaining and his administration is up to the task.
I'll meet the obligations I have discharged to the Bahamian people. The challenge I have that I've been struggling with is how I could do it without putting more burden on the Bahamian people. I've been successful so far and I hope to continue to be, so I wouldn't burden the Bahamian people with having to respond to things that have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonique Tude.
It's just amazing. See, for me, if you ask me what type of person the Honorable Prime Minister is, I think Mr. Davis is a decent man. He's humble. He is not arrogant like some of our former leaders. I think he's an understanding person. And I think, you know, he's doing some great programs and doing a lot of investment. I think he's good for the Bahamas. You know, I think that he can prove he needs to start focusing more on the people, dealing with the health. That's a key issue. I think we have the minister responsible for that. It's Michael Darwell. You know, I think the problem is with government. I think they have the solutions. But I think that persons who inherit this Minister of Education, this Minister of Health, not saying that Mr. Darwell is not qualified. Even sometimes we have qualified persons in charge of departments still can't run it properly because some of them just can't work with people. You know, and if you can't work with people, you know how we go as Bahamian people. If we can't work with you, we let you fail. Even though we can help you, we let you fail. And we've seen that with past administration. You know, we had human minutes. You know, he was a doctor in health, and he was unable to really get anything going for on at the Princess Margaret Hospital. You know, that's supposed to be his key issue because he know the health crisis in the country when it comes to diabetes, when it comes to transmissible diseases. You're talking about cancer, you're talking about AIDS, you're talking about the AIDS virus, you're talking about sugar, you're talking about all kind of incurable diseases which can't be treated properly in the country. So what surprises me is that these ministers don't focus on the task at hand. The first thing you do when you're a minister, there are a lot of available drugs out there for the Bahamian people. So there's a way you need to get the message out there to the Bahamian people on a regular basis so that they come get the proper treatment. You understand? I think the biggest problem in this country is that we don't do what we're supposed to do when we have these positions. The Minister of Health is supposed to be on the TV with his staff every day telling the Bahamian people where you can go to get treatment, what you can do to improve your health after you come to the hospital. You have to talk about why you get diabetes and what you can do not to get diabetes. And if you have it, what is the treatment? See, we don't do that. We don't do that. And then some of these positions that we hold, like the Minister of Education, are given to some individuals who are not qualified for the job. And the thing is that we lose focus of what the agenda is. The agenda is we got to provide the best service for the Bahamian people. Because when we look at the statistics shows you we're number one in diabetes in this part of the world. We're up there number one in cancer. We're up there with sugar. We're up there with incurable diseases. So when we are up there and we're closest to the U.S. and we have a health doctor and we have some of the health information available, you know, what are we doing? We have a rundown hospital, you know, with nurses overworked, underpaid. You understand? And like I said, to me, Brave Davis is doing an A-OK job. But when he's talking about inherit, so you're an inherit crop. Let me just be the first to say this. I think you guys might win the next election again, but that don't mean it's a thing if you're not helping people the way you're supposed to help people. Not saying that you're not helping, you know, sir. But right now in this country, right now, with high diabetes, high cancer, high unemployment, you know, murders up 27% at this time. You understand? Infrastructure around the country, like you say, in the hospital, you know, we're in critical condition. BPL, what's supposed to be in fixed more 50 years ago, rising prices for the Bahamian people up and down. One day, a light bill, $25. Next week, $150. Huh? What's going on there? You know? They're revoking your money. You know, I can remember the last time and Honorable Prime Minister Hubert Minister, I think, when he did the background check at BBL, some major homes and some major companies who were affiliated with the government party officials were running bills up to $80,000, $200,000, you know, close to $1 million in light bill. And they were being write off. And I saw when in the newspaper minutes cut that off. You know, and a lot of people went to pay their payback bill, but BPL was giving these people free lights. And this was the part of the government scheme. And then surcharge and increases in tax were going on the Bahamian people. So that means that's what they was doing. To make up the slack, they increase our light bill to make up the slack for the obligates who they're giving free light to, you know. And this was in the newspaper. So this ain't nothing I talking, because when I read, I always remember things that I could look back on. I have a good memory. You know, sometimes I may get the numbers a little mixed up. Like I was saying with the financial sector last week, I think it was 173 million in the financial sector. But it could be anywhere into the billions, what we have in the financial sector, and many of us as Bahamian people don't even benefit from it. So yes, let me get back to what I was saying. So yeah. So, and like I said, I feel that the Progressive Liberal Party could again win the general election. It depends. The FNM could build some traction, you know, but this kind of traction, they're going to have to step it up. You know, they're going to have to come with some solutions, because we heard Branwell saying that he feared that the Free National Movement government under the leadership, if he's given a chance again, the Dr. Honorable Hubert Minnis would do a better job. I don't know how he figured it out, okay? Unless he's speaking for his bread and butter, because something got to be in for Brendan McCartney, you know? Something got to be in for him to say something like that. You understand? And you want to care us, the Bahamian people, to listen to you as a leader. So you see the crisis the Bahamian people are going through now. You think even if Minnis was to become prime minister, we're going to hear the same thing again where someone else would come and say, give us a next chance. When you know what's supposed to be done. We're supposed to by now have four hospitals in this Bahamas, based on the population, so that we could take the screen of Princess Margaret Hospital, strategic position. Family Islands, supposed to have clinics. With Airbus, we have the resources and we have the money. You heard the prime minister say they get the money, right? Okay? Just how Cat Island and Exuma is going to be built up. Okay? Because the deputy prime minister and prime minister have access to all government's departments. They have access to the land and survey. They have access to the Ministry of Works. So when the prime minister wants his project to be done, and then you know the majority of investors who know you're the deputy prime minister and prime minister, they know that there's no red tape with you guys, because you're all in charge of all the government departments, and you two guys are working together. Now, I'm happy for Exuma. I'm happy for Cat Island, and I'm happy for Rocket Island, because they're going to be a new city for the residents to be entrepreneurs, business owners, homeowners. And then they have tourists, which we call customers in abundance. So they're going to open their business. That is great. They're going to have hospital. They're going to have A, B, and B. They're going to have helicopters. They're going to have ambulance. They're going to have fire trucks. You know? Populated islands in the country, we're supposed to have fire trucks. You understand? Watching on the news in Andres, oh, it was an accident. And they are seeing him in an ambulance. That'd be crazy. And if it was, it was out, it wasn't working. Roads. These things, anyone who running for, anyone who running to be leaders of the country is supposed to know these things. You're supposed to appoint and set up who's going to be the Minister of National Security. He know what needs to be done based on his experience and during the research of the previous former national security, the one before that. Then you use the data and information received from persons around the country, and then you know what to do as the Minister of National Security. You understand? Training that way, and you continue. But what we do, we just put people in place, and we expect change. And some of these people are not qualified for the job. So, Mr. McCartney, you're asking us, the Bahamian people, to give the former Prime Minister, Cuban Alexander, our menace, a second chance. And in doing so, you're saying that they could do a better job than the current government. And like I said, they are supplemented from Mr. McCartney, probably your position, you know, in the Free National Movement. And he wants to use his position and use the airwaves to encourage Bahamian people, which he has a right to. But the Bahamian people ain't playing that game no more because, listen, think about this. It could be you in the hospital today or tomorrow. I mean, the rain come through the ceiling. Your taxpayers' money that you pay, your light bill, your water bill, your car license, your internet bill, your grocery, and when you go to the store, your what? Think about this. All that is paid for you to be treated with the most dignity and effectiveness at the Princess Margaret Hospital, at BPL, at any government corporation in the country. And you're supposed to have the best treatment. You call BPL, you have to go wait 15 minutes just to get a call. This is not the service we're asking for in this country, you know. So, Mr. McCartney, all of this, all right? All this, Mr. Davis, like you said, you talked about health. Health supposed to be one of the number one priority in this country. You're supposed to be telling people where they can get their medicine, what to eat. Like I said, that is key. Take it in the schools, take it in the hospitals. You understand? You talked about the high cost of living. And mind you, the Prime Minister is doing a phenomenal job of easing the increase on taxes in the country. But at the same time, he is doing some taxing, but he is trying to do his best as possible. I'm not vouching for him. You could tell the common air. You know, he's trying not to increase taxes on the Bahamian people. Okay? And I'm not vouching for him. I know when someone has a heart, but he's overwhelmed by all of these different initiatives and problems occurring in the country, and he's only one man. You know, and in a 5-year period, he cannot be able to fulfill all of these problems that comes up in the country each and every day. You know, they were back and forth about the Bahamas Port Authority saying that the government, the Port Authority owes the government close to $300 million, and the government is trying to find a way on how they can get this money. And then, you know, it's a mixture of about $300 million or could be less than that. But the point of the matter is, how could you let a bill run up that's so high and then increase the taxes on the people? You could claim the same type of money from the Port Authority, and then you put this as a backup for the VAT. You know, we have so many people owing the government money, but through their politically or affiliated, the government turns a blind eye and increase the taxes on the people. We have our airspace, Glenys Adam Martin did a wonderful job of negotiating that. Now we get it. Where's the money going for that? We have one of the largest ship registry in the world. We have ships that are not even from the Bahamas, but are registered with the Bahamas flag. And because we are not a terrorist nation, the Bahamas flag is accepted all over the world. So it's valuable to have the Bahamas flag, and it's valuable to have a ship's registry license, because you could travel anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Where's the money being collected for that? Our natural resources, and like I say this again, our natural resources in the hands of our politicians. Why? Because when we elect them, they speak for the people. The politicians are actually the people. That's why they say they are a representative. That's why you see them stand up and host the parliament. So when we go to the polls and we vote, and when we elect a member of parliament, combined together, 37 of them, when either the PLP or FNM, 34 of them comes together as one by the Constitution, and we make that person who's the opposition leader, when he wins the election, becomes the prime minister. Okay? And he is the number one man in the land. Okay? And listen closely. When they go in the House of Parliament, listen closely. They say they are representing the people of the Bain and Grandstand community. You know what that means? He, Mr. Watson, who is the representative of Bain and Grandstand, he is speaking on behalf of the people of Grandstand. Okay? And that means the people of Grandstand gave him something to say, you know. He has his own speech. And he said he's representing the people of Grandstand. And when he goes to the parliament, you'll see he gives his budget debate, he gives his speech. And some things might concern the community, but most of the time, it concerns the political party he's involved with. So when we say natural resources, yeah, we own natural resources. The government of the Bahamas owns the natural resources, because each representative of each constituency is your representative, and he speaks for the 40,000 people that lives in the community. Yes? See, I'm getting to learn this stuff. You know, that's why I watch Parliament a lot, and that's why I listen closely, and I read a lot. Yeah, he's our legal, they are legal representative. Yeah, so our leaders need to understand that when you're talking about inherit, you inherit nothing, sir. You knew what the problem was. Brandon McCartney knew what the problem was when he's running to be leader of the Free National Movement, when he's running to be minister, when he was minister of immigration under the Hubert Alexander Ingram administration. He knew the circumstances concerning the hospital. He knew the circumstances concerning crime. He knew the circumstances concerning the prison. He knew the circumstances concerning unemployment in the country. He knew the circumstances dealing with the at-risk youths and broken homes. Okay? He knew. Same thing with the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis. You guys inherited. You're correct. But you guys knew. So you guys supposed to know better that when you're running to be leader of the country, these things were done happening when you were Deputy Prime Minister and when Brandon McCartney was the Immigration Minister. So yes, you inherited, but you knew what the problem was. The fact of the matter is, did you plan for winning the election to make sure that you could deal with crime, you could deal with the housing issue, you could deal with the immigration issue from the start? During your previous background check on the immigration department, check the checks and balances, what's going on, the corruption, you know, the permits, the illegal documents, you know, the government knew. You guys knew. That if you want to deal with the crime issue in the country, you got to invest in the people, by creating small businesses, getting ahead of the problem. Okay. All right, I'm going to talk about something else. You talk about the drainage problem that he inherit, the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis. And he said this is a decade-long problem. Where's the maintenance? What a sense you building roads, you know, Hubert Alexander Ingram, he did the road works. He put down a new drainage system. There's no maintenance on the drainage system. So they clog up. We all know that drainage system needs maintenance. You can't go and it rains and Bayman people just choke the breeze of the car, can ball, this, that of the car. So when it rains, all this goes down in the drainage. So this causes a clog because, you know, we trying to get clean again, but most of us are nasty. We just drive and a chore thing of the car, but we don't know that this goes in the drainage system. But the government itself knew that you're supposed to have a maintenance problem. So how could we have a drainage problem, right? For decades with the Prime Minister staying, and he's dealing with that now. Yes, the Prime Minister is doing a fantastic job of dealing with the drainage system. You can see them on the streets. You can see people going in the ground and bringing up, I see a truckload of dirt over the drainage system around the country. So that's why a lot of flooding. But we're supposed to have a maintenance program in place. Just like BPL, the Bahamas has a lot of overgrown trees on the power line throughout Nassau, New Providence. In Jamaica, before the hurricane season, they sweep through Jamaica and they shave the trees and prepare them for the hurricane to make sure that when the hurricane comes, the trees don't fall down. But in the Bahamas, we have a lot of trees overlapping the lines and causing a lot of outage in the country. We're supposed to have BPL riding to the community and serving the area and doing a maintenance check and to make sure that the streets are clean of overgrown trees around the country. We're going to take this one call on Guardian Radio. Ali, we can take this one call, please. Go ahead, caller.
Good day, how are you?
I'm fine, fine, sir. Good night, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Mike, listen, you're talking about so many things that they don't tell us. Let me give you one case in point. They say salt is bad for us. The salt that, with the woman with the little rainbow, me with the umbrella.
Martin.
If we produce the salt here and send it to the States and bring it back, it's fine. You don't think we should make a little factory here and buy our salt and ban that salt would come from the States, since you're saying most of the babies got high blood pressure from salt?
I agree, sir.
That would be the first thing I'd do. You could ban that salt, and where the people mine the salt in Miguana or wherever, you could take a payload full of that every hour, and they shouldn't say anything to you.
Sir, just give me 1 second. Where's the Minister of Health speaking on this, if this increased and gives you high blood pressure? Why does the CDC speak on what you're saying right now? Go ahead.
They don't understand. The Bahamian public is becoming more and more educated. Mm. The next thing, you're talking about the health of the country and the children being obese all now. You know what? The children, everybody's eating, most of the poor people now.
Chips.
The noodles. It has
chips
no
and noodles. That's it.
It.
That's it, sir. You're right.
Why don't you, if I love the people, you know, they always tell you how they love you when during these rallies and
yes,
all that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead,
take
sir.
Take the taxes off of those things. Because you didn't grow up. So you had no input in it. And you're talking about feeding people because you want to feed all the children now in school.
Mm-hmm.
You get so big, you want to feed all the children in school now. What about us just taking the taxes out of the vegetables and fruit and coming to this country? You'll be saving it because people will then be forced to eat more vegetables and fruit because they'll be able to afford it.
And we have all these high diabetes and this and that.
Nobody, they are two simple things.
That the Minister of Health can do and the government can do.
Yes.
Simple stuff.
They would not do that because I don't know what game they're playing every day. Next case in point.
Go ahead, sir.
Our debt is about how much now?
They say what? $3-4 billion?
No, I think the last time was $9 billion.
A short five. Let's
right,
go to nine.
It was only five.
Okay.
Listen.
Okay.
Who are these people we owe that are letting them owe them $9 billion? If somebody owe me $100, I want that. This game they play is at such a high level and big people in it. These people we owe $9 billion. They've got to be gangsters because they're not legitimate people. They don't have no bank where this money is being banked, because if they go and put it in the bank, it'll be taxed and there'll be records of it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't never tell us who are these people. Then the next day I found out from Mr. Lang on his show, the government go in the when they have in their budget.
Midterm budget?
To be in debt. The whole idea is to be in debt more for some reason. Now, don't ask me. That's some accounting thing. They say we ain't got no sense. But if I got a house and I'm paying a mortgage on it, and if I get a little raise, I like to put more on my house to bring the bill down.
Of course, and make it shorter for me so I can get rid of my mortgage in a short period of time.
So now, why I don't ever hear anything about them putting $500 million on our bill? Because you can't continuously keep that. Now, and these bankers do like they don't have no sense. You can't continuously owe somebody and don't expect them to call their money in one day or kill you. What is this game they play at that such a high level that don't make, I mean, it don't make any sense because we're not in the game, but somebody's making millions every day. Next case in point, the bank. These people want you to put money in the bank, charge you to put it in, and charge you to take it out. Now, how much are the poor people who they just gave a raise to, $250, can afford to put their money in the bank and lose almost $10 putting it in? You already ain't making no money. Because you put it in and just cashing your check or getting money from your account, they charge you for that. Why did the government let the banks charge us? They put those kind of charges on us. I'll never understand. You're talking about a small little country that produces a lot of money, but it's all still going right out of the country. Mm-hmm. What kind of mathematicians we have, or politicians, that are so blind they see not?
I think they don't understand
they
the suffering.
They understand because they, listen, I know 1 and 1 is plus 2. I mean, 1 plus 1 is 2. 1 from 1 is 0. So, these are simple things that don't change. When are we going to start paying whoever? I just can't understand me owing somebody $9 billion. I can't get past that. And we don't know who they are. They always want to know what we're doing. When you turn on your switch, they know, your light switch.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy a piece of property, they won't know. You build a house, they come and remeasure it just to make sure you build it the right size. But we don't know who we owe $9 billion to. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that, sir?
Well, I know it's going to be on the taxpayer's back. I know things are going to be extra tough for us, and we're going to do a lot of suffering.
And the next thing, why would they do it in such a way that it's on the next 2 generations behind us? And what kills me is they're always talking about they love us and God bless you at the end of the night. Well, may God bless you.
Well, you can hear from Branville McCartney and Brave Davis.
Now, going at it. McCartney, let me say this about him.
Somebody right now, call it. Someone just finish. Someone just call it.
McCartney is a man that is liked by the public. So he don't need to use or...
Mm-hmm.
To go and get involved with anybody for say.
That's right.
Pick your party and run in your area.
That's right.
Because then you cause people, like you said, what is he getting out of it? Now we think it equal because I got McCartney for a nice, clean fella.
But when you see him speaking up like that, you know he got some type of agenda.
You cause me to think now.
Go ahead, sir.
You cause me to think about you. But before Branville could run on his own because
that's
he's a well-liked fella.
Yes, sir.
And he shoots straight from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why not, like you say, what's in it for him? Next year, you know, he's deputy.
That's what it is for him.
He want to be deputy prime minister.
And they don't care if the government doing good or bad. They just want to get in there. That's the problem in this country right now.
Every time I sit down and listen to these fellas play Dollhouse in the House of Assembly, it aggravates me to see the time they waste and the foolishness they talk about.
Yes, sir.
And people out here die, like you said. Two simple things I gave you tonight. The salt.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to import no salt.
No, sir.
Enough salt to America when it's winter time, man. Do we have to import salt?
No.
force the people to get a little factory right down there, would create employment.
Yes, sir.
And let them mine the salt, bag it. You don't even have to put it in a box. Because I go in the dock and buy it in a bag.
Yes, sir.
And the people will be forced to buy the cut down on the salt right there. Bam, that cut right down.
Yes, sir.
And drop the price on the food. Show me you love me. Don't tell me.
Yes, sir.
All this telling, talking, and then you won't tell me at the end of the speech. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, good night.
You did an awesome job. You did an awesome job. I love talking to you. So call in every time you are your words are always on cue and you understand exactly what's going on in the country. And you speak for the BME people. So feel free to have a conversation.
I forgot my three MRI machines.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
I can't understand why we don't have that. Now that's another thing that irks me.
Yes, sir.
That means somebody independently is making all kind of money.
Someone was private.
Off the poor people. Yeah, you got to go in Harbor Bay.
Yes, sir.
To get an MRI. Wow. You mean to tell me a country can have three if one place can have one?
Thank you.
But there's no way. You ain't got nobody to pick from.
Yes, sir. You're so right. Thanks very much.
If a German Shepherd run now, he's liable to win.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Enjoy your night. Let's take this next call. Caller, sorry for taking so long, but the caller was making so much sense. So go ahead. You're on Inside the Inner City of Garden Radio.
Yeah. You ever been in Austin? You see how crowded Austin be every day?
Yeah, excuse me. You turn on your volume just a little bit, please.
You see how crowded it is? I saw all the bodies.
Yeah.
All the food. All yes. The bad food we have in there. You see, a lot of behemoths on left on the basket up. You know, when you have to look in the back of
the label.
The label, to see what's this and that. They don't look. See where they get us? They get us at the pretty logo and this and that. So, you know?
Yes.
They see this and that. They're pretty. They say, yeah, this is expensive. But they're giving it to getting garbage.
Yep.
The other day, I was inside the States. Man, I being in Costco.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I used to live in the States, I don't need. I would have been. They would be talking to me and have to be in wine with me. Coming to them because all the food, all the nuts and the walnuts and everything you're talking about, little or nothing. What are you supposed to be, especially men? But over here, you go get some walnuts and almond and everything and all that, man, you pay. And that's what they're doing now. They take it, they cut the bag open and pour them on the potato and charge you $3 just as much as they pay for the bag.
The cost of living is too expensive in the country, in the Bahamas.
Yeah, so you know, when the world begins, this nigga. They want us to be sick and everything and all that. Right now, I have to go to the doctor right now to see the doctor for a couple, 1-2 minutes. That's $255.
Wow.
Just to tell me something about my arm.
Wow.
You understand what I got?
Yes, sir. Yeah, brother.
So, it's a monopoly around this. You know, and you see what's happening now, right? They're having the expo now, Agriculture Expo.
Yes, sir.
When we can come together now to have a real, where we can grow our own food. They have this little small little this and that. People only cut them in and go and just to go food just to put in the fridge. Yeah. We need to supply everyone.
That's right. You know,
that little expo don't make no sense. Every year they have a little expo where people bring 4 or 5 plants.
Wow, I can comment when you finish. Go ahead.
You know what I mean? Let's grow. See, I used to do my little growing too and everything, my little pepper and everything and all that. But I willing to go and help and be on the side of the country and help us be one of the farmers them and try to help push. But they don't want that. They want because they want to. You know why they don't want us to grow our food? Because that's where customs win the duty. They won't have no money coming in. So that's why we have to bring in everything. So that's where they get the duty. And we, you know what I mean?
Yes,
that's where the money out of.
Yes, sir.
But we really got to look at this country and the Bahamian people, they ain't seeing what's going on.
No.
Every day, someone or your family, loved one, die and diabetic. Well, I have a family, you know, he's on dialysis machine and everything and all that.
Yes,
this and that and all that. I mean, you know, we gotta start from now. From eating, you know, all them noodles and all them soup. They need to ban all of them things.
Yes, sir. I agree. In Europe, they don't allow the food to come in their country. You know, they eat healthy. They have healthy food come in the country, especially Russia as well. They are growing their fruits and vegetables healthy from the ground. No chemicals, no nothing.
The schools and things and all that, they need a bathroom because a lot of them schools, them. When I pick my little girl up from school, she always coming over there with a little popsicle and daddy over here doing it. And they, no, man. They post, they don't, they, the schools, them, is starting these kids them off in small. That's why it's so hard for me to break in.
Hey, Carly, you're making so much good sense. You know, I was going to comment on that. You know, when we were younger, they used to have the farms come to the schools, and they used to give us orange, watermelon, pineapple when they had the expo. And all the students in the school used to eat fruits on a regular basis every time they come to the schools. Nowadays, they don't do that no more. That was our lunch and stuff like that. We had orange and stuff like that.
More candy.
No, yeah, chips and Capri Suns.
A bunch of, like, yeah, you see, you cut back in the day and all that, but I mean, you're seeing some different now.
Yeah,
everything
yeah, is different. Artificial.
Now,
they're artificial.
Diabetic too early.
Yes. That's why we have so much kids at the age of 9 and 10 having are diabetic, you're saying, and having sugar and stuff and high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. That's why
we're causing the problem.
Yes, yes, sir. You're right.
Once we fix that, we could be all right. You know what I mean? We need that because the future ain't looking bright, man. There's everyone just getting sick and cancer, this and that and all that, man.
Carla, I don't know who you are, but earlier in the show when I said that people who have the position in the country, they don't have the knowledge. You see, you are just a regular young man who done study the health system, and you already know the solution to the country's problem. You're already saying that we need to put healthy foods in the schools and make sure that we can eat healthy and ban certain food. You already solved the country's health problem. You understand? They're saying, why is not Dr. Darwell, who is the Minister of Health, can come up with a good suggestions like what you just mentioned? It's not as simple as those two advice you give us now, which you just give us now. It's the solution we need for the country.
Yeah, man. Because if we can start from small, you know what I mean? You know, we eat beets and thing and all of these children, man. I can force them to eat, my daughter to eat certain food and thing and all. And then every time we pass Wendy's and McDonald's,
they want
McDonald's. I want Wendy's.
It's Dr. Dobb.
Hey, you see, they carry the price up. Dr. Sands carry up. Remember the McDonald's thing used to be cheap.
Yes, sir.
And they carry the duty and bought everything up on them so the people will stop eating. Man, the people will continue to down the line some extra long.
Yeah.
They extra long now. They price them almost $15 for sandwich, man. People themselves are on the line for that bamboo shark them and all that.
Yeah, and then...
So what are they? They should eat cheaper than even in the chain set.
Yeah. You're making some good points, brother.
But I advise, before I go, I advise everyone to buy one air fryer. Because I like the air fryer.
Yes, sir.
Buy air fryer and everything and all that and do your food in there, man. You know, that's what I do. I even fry my fish inside it.
That's up. Yeah, man. Some good advice. Some good advice you gave tonight. You know, you talked about your family members, you know, in the hospital and stuff, diabetic and stuff like that. Listen to this. Doesn't make sense to know that we are number one diabetes, we have high cancer, we have a lot of incurable diseases. All starts from the food that we eat. And the sex, the way how we have unprotected sex with multiple partners in the country, and then we're eating wrong, getting cancer, you know, and we have all of the technology, we have all information. Why is not Dr. Darwell, right, who is in charge of the Ministry of Health under the Davis administration? And the Davis administration, the Prime Minister spoke and said that, you know, he inherited a health problem. Well, if you inherit a health problem, the first thing you need to do, just like how the caller calling just now, and you get a prime example of what the country people are facing as their health problem. He talked about diabetes, he talked about cancer, you know, and et cetera. So if you know these things, the first thing you're supposed to do is look at what's going on in the Bahamas and say, hey, diabetes is caused drinking sugar, eating pork chop, eating pig, you know, and these kind of stuff. So we need to see how we could break this down and encourage the students. You know, we need to put these messages out in the school. We need to put these messages out in society. We need to put these messages out around the country and see how we can stop people from eating unhealthy food. These chips and Capri Suns and stuff like that we have in school, okay? It ain't making no sense. You know, we could do other alternatives. Yeah, they could be snacks for the kids, but we have to also provide a healthy, nutritious a diet for our kids. Then these canned goods, okay, these mackerel and these tuna. We live in the Bahamas, we're surrounded by sea. We have to be careful of the canned goods. You know how long a canned good could be on the shelf in the food store? For over 30 years, people. So that's not mackerel. When you open that, you understand? And that liquid within the mackerel. That being there for 20, 30 years, and then you thinking it's mackerel. You know, it ain't, the fish is not fresh enough, no energy. You know, and there's certain preservative in that. That when you go and you cook that goes in the system and give you all kind of disease. We have to find out. This is the Bahamas. We have fresh. We could do our own fresh fish, do our fresh tuna, you know. Why we want to help the tilapia, what the shit fish name? Why wouldn't we want to help the tilapia in the country when we have snappers, grunts, barracudas, angelfish? We have the variety of fishes all around the world in the Bahamas. Man, making no sense. Ain't making no sense, man. We killing ourselves. So this Minister of Health, Dr. Dawalini, really needs to start to understand what his title is and what he needs to do. We're going to take this last call before I talk about what we need, tougher gun sentence. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long.
Hi, Coach. How you doing?
I'm fine. Good night.
Listen, man, you know, your previous caller was right on point. But I think what we need to do is, first of all, as we celebrate agro-processing weekend, we need to put some other things in place. For example, all the agro processors,
yes, sir,
all of them have a business license. Mm. The Ministry of Agriculture needs to create a portal for the agro processors and know who they are and what they're producing. Mm. So each month we get an opportunity to report what is being produced.
Yes.
What is being produced by each agro processor. Mm-hmm. That's one. And secondly, for an effort to collect additional taxes, we should, through the Ministry of Health and the Standard Bureau,
yes, sir,
and Custom, we should have a portal that create all the food that's coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a notification for food coming to the Bahamas.
Yes, sir. See?
And this notification need to have, one, where's it coming from? Who's the agent bringing it in? What's the batch number? What is the expiry date?
Mm-hmm.
So we can track this stuff.
Yes.
So often when they have a recall in the U.S., we don't even know what's in here because we don't know the recall number.
Ah, yes.
But if they could, one, like I said, they need to know who the agent is bringing it in. Two, what is the product? Three, what's the amount of the quantity coming in?
Mm-hmm.
What is the batch number? So in the event of a recall, and when they sign it, every time before it comes, it should be on this portal through the Standard Bureau, the Ministry of Health, and also Custom Department, and they should pay a fee for this.
Yes, sir, I agree.
Even if it's a $5 fee, we could raise that for products import notification for food through the Standard Bureau.
Yes,
so the government don't need to fund the Standard Bureau no more, because the Standard Bureau getting that money for the notification of all the food being tracked
coming
into this country.
Wow. Amazing.
You understand?
Yes,
so they need to set it up properly. You know what I mean? And on the side of the agro-processing,
yes,
they need to create a portal for all of the agro-processing linked with the farmers for two reasons. We need to know what the farmer's going to grow. So if we're going to process, we need to know what the products they're going to have within the next 3 to 6 months.
If we're going to have, they're going to have watermelon this month, they're going to have some pineapple this month.
Right.
Yes.
We need to know and what the amount, so we know what farm, how much they have already put into the ground, and we know where to get the crops. So there are linkages
and let me just
in
add
the system.
And let me just add something to this great idea you just gave. Also, you know, we need to get them in the school. So by you knowing how much watermelons and how much pineapple, you could say, well, you know, this is a ton we get. So you could say to yourself, you're going to send some to C.R. Walker. We're going to put some in the farmer's market.
No. Even, you know, a lot of the schools are ahead of the program, you know.
Wow.
They have a system already where they're really growing a lot of their stuff.
Wow.
So what we need to do is link up with the University of the Bahamas
to bring them a standard,
and let them also, they would also be on the portal for the agro processing.
Yes,
so
yes,
we know
yes.
what they're doing also.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
So if they have more than enough, they have their batch number, they have how much they're producing,
yes.
it's in the system. So the minister himself, they go to the system and say, let me look at the agro process, let me see what C.R. Walker is doing. And how much they sold.
Yes, because HO Nash get a program now which show who's normally coming to show, and they have a chicken and a cucumber and all the stuff by HO Nash. Go ahead, sir.
Even Scrooge, look at
Mushroom.
All these schools that are strategically placed in different communities.
Yes, sir, you're right.
If they
you're
have
right.
surplus of goods, then now we can link them to the Urban Renewal
yes,
Center
yes.
for people who have needs that we could probably, they can subsidize or buy them from the school,
yes.
and the school now generating money that they can help themselves.
Yes, and then if we could add some produce, exchange places in these inner city community that just sells these fruits so that they don't go to waste when the farmer get them. The government could buy them and you could buy them privately, and then you have a spot inside the inner city community to disperse them at a cheap price to those who want pineapple, watermelon, and abundance.
No, but what I'm saying, through the Urban Renewal Center, right?
Yes.
If we have all our senior citizens registered through there, or people who in need registered through there, we'll have a system where we know who they are.
Yes,
and
yes.
We can get products and food to these people through the various programs.
Yes.
Because the school is strategically located in an area. The next school, H.O. Nash, is in the area. Anatole Rogers in the area. Mm. So they can be subsidized the government say, you know what? Let's treat them like an NGO system that these kids, even when they leave school, they can still work in the system and get paid and continue this whole thing.
And they have their own business as well.
Serving the community.
Yes, I agree.
They can be processing their own brand, but they're also giving back to the community through the program.
And people who know how important watermelon is, when you're in the hospital, the first thing they tell you, you know what is water? Watermelon is actually real water,
Bro, that's for the circulation, bro.
Not for the circulation. For listen to me. anyone who being in the hospital knows that the number one thing you could possibly eat to give you some strength and energy is watermelon. That's why we need them with abundance in the country. Yeah.
You know. The problem is, right? I think sometime in our culture, we want to handpick the people we want to succeed.
Yes.
I think we need to look at it and say, the people who already got skin in the game, like the former minister he used to say, man, we want to support people who got skin in the game.
Yes.
You can't just pick anyone up and say, we want this person to succeed over the person who already out there.
Yes.
Plowing the field and stuff like that. Mm. And this is the problem.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Everybody can say, okay, you in the field, you should teach this person this or give it to them.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes. Yeah, so you make good sense. Thanks a lot.
All right.
You call us. It's amazing to see how intelligent you guys are, and you all have solution right here what the countries need. You guys are talking solution right here.
That's another form of tax, but not only even with the $5 fee on the bottle through the Standard Bureau,
sir.
We know what's coming in. Where's the product being produced?
Yes, sir.
Who's the agent importing it?
Yes,
what's
sir.
The batch number? What's the expiry date? And they report it to the Standard Bureau, so now we can track and we get a $5 or $10 fee. So the government make money on every import for food coming
sir.
In here.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much. We're gonna take this last call. The callers them are doing such an awesome job of giving us such great advice and such great solutions to the country's problems. So easy, so easy. For those who are listening, we can solve our own problems if we listen to one. We're gonna take this last call. I'll call you in a few minutes. You are on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. They're still there? They left? Sorry about that call. We're having a wonderful, wonderful conversation with so many wonderful callers. You guys are awesome. You guys are intelligent, and I appreciate us having this conversation. That's why we have Inside the Inner City. So persons like yourself could give you all input, and your opinion is warranted on this show. Let me see. I'm going to go through something real quick. A few more minutes before we go. Let me see what I was talking about just now. Okay. Remember we're talking about distributing, and we talked about the fruits and vegetables. The gentleman who talked earlier about his daughter, he gave some great example. He's talking about how we need to eat healthier. Michael Darvall, who is the minister responsible for the Ministry of Health, he needs to step up to the plate. Our government officials need to step up to the plate because we have a solution for the country's problem. We have the fruits and vegetables that is needed in this country. We have the bush medicine. We have the pharmaceutical medicine that we can utilize in this country. But first, we need to get rid of the diabetes and the sugar. And how do you do this stuff? The first thing you need to do is to put the chart up in the schools, in the hospitals, use the airwaves and say, hey, break down on these things. And then you have to also find out a way how you're going to stop the BMI people from using sugar. It's going to take a long time. It still could be alternative to sugar. So you need to put an alternative that is healthy to sugar. You need to put an alternative where it's like what the alternative to salt or break it down where it could be useful. We have a lot of meat that comes in the country that are banned in other countries that have chemicals in it, the pork chop, the chicken, and stuff like that. We have avocado farms that sell healthy foods, healthy chicken. We have farms in the country that grow naturally. Why not just send our resources to these and encourage other Bahamians in the country to start opening their own chicken farm to grow natural. My cousin Dexter always talk about us, even though we have Bamsi. When you look, Bamsi ran into about $200 million, if I'm correct. But how come we're spending so much on Bamsi? And then my cousin also talk about the seeds, you know, GOM seeds. You know, we need to do not get no GOM seeds, you know, because we know that it damages the earth. We also know that it's not natural with seeds. We need natural seeds, you know, we need limes with seeds, we need tomato with seeds, we need mangoes with seeds, we need watermelon with seeds. You know, most fruits and vegetables that come out with seeds, they're not really healthy for the human body, okay, because they're not natural. We need natural fruits and vegetables, tomatoes and watermelon with seeds in it, and limes with seeds in it. You know, and Bamsi, I can't understand Bamsi. Bamsi is supposed to be supplying the whole Bahamas with fruits and vegetables, but we also need to encourage other farmers. And like the caller said, you know, we can get an invoice from these farmers. What time the watermelon season? What time the pineapple season? What time the tomato season? What time the coconut season? What time the sweet pepper, onions? And then you put the APB out around the country and let the Bahamian people know that we have abundance of a couple thousand pounds of onion. See how we can distribute those around the country. We have a couple tons of watermelon is going to be in season. We got to find ways to get them in the city community, the food store, in the hands of small business persons who have their little food stores, or help build food stores at small businesses around the country and get people in the business of buying fruits and vegetables from the farmers, right? From farmers who produce these particular fruits and vegetables, and find ways on how we could get a cheap price and start to sell these in the inner city communities all around. Because a lot of people want fish. You know, a lot of people want fish. Just East alone, Yuri and Woody and Al and Smokey, they started their fish project before Easter. They sold their fish. They went on the family islands. Al went on the family island. Woody went fishing. They bought a boat, and they came back, and they made a couple $100s. Now they're going into the fishing business inside the inner city community. Go back to the old way. You understand? And Bamsi itself is supposed to be beneficial to the Bahamian people. But it looks like the fruits and vegetables rotten, and they never in the hands of the Bahamian people. The COVID-19 proves that the first defense against the COVID-19 is the immune system. And if you have a strong immune system, you have to eat healthy. That means eating proper fruits, minerals, vitamins, and combine the pineapple, the watermelon, the sour, the cabbage, the carrots, the pepper, bell pepper, the canep, the dilly, the soursop, all these things right there that we have in the Bahamas. These are the number one cure for incurable diseases in the country. The number one cure for cancer is soursop. Okay? All right? We're going to take this one call real quick. Caller, we're going to give you about 3 minutes, but I just want you to get in. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I appreciate that, Scrooge. Everything all right?
Yes, sir. Good night.
Yeah, man. Scrooge, you got to watch out for them GMOC.
Yeah, GMOC.
And especially how our government is look for the easiest way out.
Yes,
you know
sir.
I mean, like they know they'll take the first thing coming to them. You got to watch it because, like you said before, there are no regulations. I got a gentleman was talking about
yes,
how we need to really track the food coming in. I always used to say that, man, anybody could bring any old thing in here and sell it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That's dangerous. I mean, this country is a country that's so slack when it comes to regulation, man. I mean, nothing, you know what I mean? But Scrooge, I mean, I don't know if you ever did, but one of these days when you have some time, go look up Grenada
and
Maurice Bishop, right?
Grenada.
They're the government. Grenada and Maurice Bishop. Right, they're the government down there. And I mean, their government was about educating the masses on better nutrition.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
They even had people going around teaching people.
Yeah. Okay, yes, go ahead, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Alternatives to white flour. And the kind of and stuff like
yes,
that. And they
yes.
even had it, and they even they used to look around and notice all the mangoes and all the other fruits and stuff that's going away. So they started canning them and turning into jams. And
okay,
stuff.
You see,
like the government was a real progressive government.
Okay,
you know what I mean. So one of these days you got to check it out. But all your callers gave great contributions, yes. Another kind of, especially the first one who spoke about it, all the game and the MRI machines, yes, and things like that. It's good. I mean, how you spoke about the hospital, but I mean, that's a reality. There's one thing we need to get straight is the hospital, man. You know what I mean? And early today, I told Howard on the show that wherever there's a lock,
yes,
you have to look at who picking up the slack.
Yes.
Like how the gentleman was saying. So seeing that when the government, like how the government doesn't have MRI machines or dialysis, yes, machines or whatever type machines, somebody else got them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they got some kind of, and chances are they have some kind of contract with the government. You know what I mean? Where the government pay them monthly or whatever.
We catching on all this stuff. You see,
yeah,
you
man,
see,
see
we catching
stop.
On.
See, we can't,
yes.
See, listen, we can't be having, like, listen, Scrooge, like, listen, healthcare, Scrooge,
mm-hmm,
is supposed to be something that every human being is supposed to have.
Yes,
and they're,
sir,
supposed to have it at the level that they needed at. You see, Cuba? Cuba's a proper example of good governance, too. You know what I mean? Cuba was in a position where they were able to export doctors, and Cuba's a country who did it under circumstances.
But you say that they're communists? But they said they're communists.
They was under all kind of sanctions and embargoes,
right,
but they still, they were
way.
Still able to, you know what I mean?
And they get the best doctors in the world.
You know what I mean? They look out for the necessities
of
the human being.
Yes.
You understand? Like, and there's no reason why we can't have that, you know what I mean? We right next, maybe not too far away or whatever, we are better off economically, et cetera. But
yes,
look at us, man, when it comes to healthcare, we got to go to Cuba.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
So like I say, man, we have to put an end to this nonsense, man,
yeah,
because like the first caller said, it's all a game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when you look at it, it makes no sense.
No, it makes
no
sense.
Kind of way. So somebody got to be profiting from all of this nonsense,
you
know what I mean? Because it's either you can't do it, Scrooge,
yeah,
or you don't want to do it. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yes.
And like you say, we tired of our politicians talking from a perspective where they powerless. You know what I mean? Like where they say, oh, the problem is this,
yeah,
and the problem is that. The house is burning down. The house is burning down. We don't want to hear that, but we want to hear where the water, where you can get this water from.
Yes,
you know,
sir,
what I mean? We don't want you to reiterate,
yeah,
the problem. That's
we,
for us to do. That's for
right.
us to do. We're supposed to come to you and tell you what the problem is. And
yeah.
You're supposed to say, okay, this is the solution. And if you can't find a solution,
listen,
man, you need to come from on your mind.
Keep
your
mouth quiet. So
look, Scrooge, you understand? Scrooge, look, I can go right now. But Scrooge, I like how you be talking, man. You know what I mean? And,
yeah,
and see, we need people. Because, man, like a real man,
yeah,
would not sit back
and let
and allow people like leaders like that to do that to what they're doing to us.
Yes.
You understand? You know what I mean? Real men would not allow that to happen.
Yes,
you understand? You can't sit back and allow
now,
people to be doing this thing.
No, using us to get what they want, and when they get there, they need the next 5 years. No,
peace,
sir. We can't.
Peace, love, and respect.
Thank you very much.
Peace, love, and respect.
Thank
yep.
you very much. You guys did a wonderful job here tonight. All the callers, you guys did a wonderful job. I want you all to feel free when I have this conversation. You be a part of this conversation because you're the ones who are going to make change in the country. Because I could start the conversation, but I want people to see the response of the general public or they who are listening and could agree on the topic we have. And I'm not saying I'm always right, but the majority of the time, you guys them give you all input on based on the conversation. That means we all concerned. What's going on in the country. Remember this, PLP, FNM, and DNA. Listen to me. At the end of the day, your grandmother, your mother, your brother, your sister, right? The hospital is 7 years old. So take politics out of this, okay? Because when you're in the hospital suffering, Brave Davis ain't going to no Princess Market Hospital. See, there's a difference between me and people in this country. I ain't afraid to talk to leaders in this country. Not to disrespect them, you know, but to tell you reality. All right? And that's what Godly Radio get me for. Get me here for. Brave Davis is not going in the Princess Margaret Hospital. Dr. Hubert Minnis is not going in the Princess Margaret Hospital. Okay? They get money. They millionaires. They get insurance from the government as former parliamentarian. They have money. What they have earned, honestly, they got a lot of deal with corruption. Both of them, Brave Davis and Hubert Minnis, because they were leaders of the country, and when money go missing to the treasury, hey, it's on them. We might never know where it go, but we all know they live in there. Brave was ever a millionaire, and when you go, you have a couple million more. Do you think you earn a salary just on this or what? How much is the prime minister salary a year? I don't know what I think, what, $55,000, $60,000, $60,000 a year? You think he, I guarantee you, when Brave leave the government, I ain't saying, you know, he's stealing directly, but when you're dealing with a lot of companies around the world and dealing with people from around the world, people give you stuff. They give you money just by talking to them and meeting them. So he earns his money, and then he have his law firm that is now run by other people, you know, because you know when you're sitting member of parliament, especially the prime minister, you can't deal with those type of business, but you can let your triangle with somebody else. So they're not going into the Princess Margaret Hospital to sit up and know, like, they're going to have private doctors. They're going to have private bed. They're going to have all the latest equipment. They're going to have an MRI machine. They're going to have whatever machine, like we talked about, the gentleman said, that is not in the Princess Margaret Hospital, somewhere privately owned by someone in government who is using it instead of in the Princess Margaret Hospital. They use the government resources. The government buys it. Then it disappears from the hospital. Then you see it in the private clinic from a doctor at the Princess Margaret Hospital, but he's doing his private practice. And files go missing, machine goes missing, the MRI machine goes missing, the dialysis machine goes missing, and then it is a private for him. And he's using the Bahamian taxpayers' money. They steal the equipment, and then they put it in their private practice. Then they charge the Bahamian people, the same people who they say they love and care for, to come and use the MRI machine when we don't even have none in the Princess Margaret Hospital, no dialysis machine, and we are one of the richest countries in the world. You think I got time to be in Brandon McCartney? Sometime I wish I could curse on this radio, you know. You understand? And I'm sorry for saying it to the general public like that, but this ain't no time to be playing with people's lives, man. You understand? It's time to get this country going in the right direction. And this ain't going in the right direction. If people like Mr. McCartney trying to speak for his bread and butter when he's supposed to be a decent man, but he wanted to speak for Hubert Alexander Minutes. Yeah, he had challenges with the COVID-19. Yes, he had challenges with Hurricane Dorian. But he had help from two former prime ministers to ease the burden of him. The man was too cocky and too arrogant as a leader. Too disrespectful to the Bahamian people. You understand? I ain't against him. But it's your actions that proves that if you should deserve the second time. What you mean, give him a second chance to do what? Huh? You don't think you know the Bahamian people were suffering? Huh? Huh? So give him a second chance to do what? To do what? Huh? I wonder what he's going to do. What is God? Huh? He's going to be a better man. He's going to talk to the Bahamian people better. He's going to bring down the cost of living. What he's going to do? Create employment. What he's going to do? Is he going to focus his time on just the Bahamian people if he gets elected? Yesterday, he said that the next time he got elected, if he got elected, he would focus on the Bahamian people. So that means if the Honorable former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Minutes, was able to get to be opposition after they kicked Michael Pinta on the hip, that's look like they what they lean into. They want to kick Michael Pinta, who's the opposition leader, out. That's what Brenville is look like he's suggesting. And then Minutes is going to become opposition leader again of the party, right? I don't hate it, Minutes. I hate what you did to us. And I ain't gonna ever forget it. I ain't hate you, but I ain't gonna forget. And that type of tone and that type of arrogance, I don't want no one to lead me like that again. So, Mr. Brandon McGartney, let me give you something to sleep on, right? You let him be your leader, and y'all two goots together, and then y'all go try run for the Free National Movement. Y'all see what happened to both of you guys. You understand? It's no time to be paying with no Bahamian people, my brother. I talking for all the people that are in the hospital. I'm talking for all the people in the prison. I'm talking for all the poor people in this country. Right? I'm talking for all at-risk people. I'm talking for all the disabled people in this country. I'm talking for all the people who are suffering in this country. Right? With high taxes in this country. That's who I represent, because that's where my heart is. All right? And you guys playing this political back and forth. Let me tell you all something. I's a sinner. And I might go to hell. But at least I go to hell having a big heart, knowing that the little I get, that I care for people. The little that I get, I try my best. I ain't say this can get you in heaven. I ain't say this can put me in the bottom. But my heart is into people who I don't even know. Let me tell you something. A lot of y'all politicians, y'all got boys' hell wide open, yeah? On that day, y'all better think about this, you know. Let me tell you all something. Y'all think about talking to be leader and being leader. saying you could do something for the poor people who put that trust in you, only to go there and raise taxes and put the BMM people to hell. Y'all know y'all get a great judgment to get. Y'all know that y'all got to face the Creator. I mean, that's what he can say. He can say, wow. Caller, come on right now. You close to the show, caller. That's what the Father can say. He say, wow. You come from that, you know, minister. He come from that, humble beginnings. And then he work his way up over there in the city community. And I'm not just saying this is minister. Okay? This is Lyndon. This is Terry. This could be Brave. This could even be Brent's father. So Roland Simmons, yeah, he was a good man. I ain't saying no difference. But let me put it to you like this. Y'all was in charge of over 400,000 people. And you know something? You had billions and hundreds of millions at your disposal. If you guys that helped about 100 people with their homes and with their small businesses, look at what would have happened. You guys accumulate going in parliament, just being thousandaires. Opposition and government officials, businessmen. And you go in there and you make little 10, 15, 20 million. Some can even make more. Because what I heard that some former prime minister in this country had over 150, 200 million, 700, 800 million. That's my inside talking to people who in places when they ask, well, who's richest former parliamentarian or former prime minister? That's the kind of money I hear in people. I hear some of these former prime ministers get like 200, 300 million. Huh? Some get 700, 800 million. Huh? The said who served a long time. Right in this country. So you know how much people you could have helped. Even though you accumulated all that money, you know, which you deserve. But imagine all that money the majority of these politicians get. Former, who didn't pass away. You know where they get that from? They get that off the box of the Bahamian people. And they keep all the rent for themselves. Now, some might give away. But imagine how many people you could help. Knowing you go on there, a poor man, now you become successful. No one blaming you for becoming successful because we are fighting the British. And we never supposed to leave no one behind. Okay? You know what the Father's going to say? If you just help the least amongst you, the Bahamas would have been a better place. And there's a special place in hell for a lot of y'all. I might go myself. Huh? But at least I try, and I mean it with my heart. But a lot of y'all in this country, y'all could boys hell wide open of y'all ungratefulness, y'all greediness, and y'all a bunch of lies just for to get power only to destroy y'all own. Take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're about a minute, please.
Hey, Kermit. Scrooge.
Hey.
Over here, listen, I feel like it should be more than just voting them out. I feel like we should be able to investigate, check out the 5 years when they're in power, like where this money, check their account to see what all they doing, just to make sure everything's straight. We ain't believe nobody doing nothing wrong, but just to make sure everything's straight, check their bank account. It should be more than just voting them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I wish? I wish it wasn't about friends, family, and love, but these politicians, they too gravelicious and greedy, and they spiteful, and they petty. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And they playing with the people things. That's why someplace, other parts of the world, you see civil war and people rising up. It's just that they said doing it a little slicker. I couldn't believe when Dr. Minnis said, when he was the prime minister, that in parliament, that the next time Irani could do more. And not even in youth, I wish the writer or whosoever writer for him to put more. He said, next time around, he could look out for the poor.
So what that's
he could do more for the poor.
So what
look out for the poor.
So what that means? That means for that 3 years, he didn't do nothing for the poor. He was focused someplace else, right?
Yes.
So he said it was on his own mode, right, Papa?
One of the things that I like. Like the breakfast program, I thought it was in all the schools, but they still do.
Yeah, that's a good program.
A pilot program. I think that was a good thing.
Yeah.
This rent-to-own thing with the rent-to-own
house
and stuff, people could rent and own their own property and house.
Yes, that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing also.
Yeah.
But I wish the poor people could rise up. I know people say the COI is a bunch of crazy people and different things like that, right? But we get smart people in power who rough-shotting over us. I mean, they just doing what they want to do and smiling up, and we can't do nothing. All we do is just keep voting them out. Their bank account getting big while we hungry We losing our homes. We losing it. We can't do for our children what they did for their children. The poor people need to rise up, take what we could take from both sides, FNM and PLP, and vote for somebody else. Vote for someone else to run this country. I don't want to say it can't get no worse, because it could get worse if you put the wrong people. But my goodness, man, these people smart, PLP and FNM, and they coming on talking about what they doing for us.
Yes.
Say they take the water or move it from 12% to 10%. But what they do at the same time, put it on the breadbasket items, and then talking about if they move it, the rich man to get away, the restaurant owners to get away. But the poor people feeling it, the siding and the tone and the corned beef is what we is eat. They put rock on the medicine and the insurance. Thanks, schools. Keep up the good work. Have a nice weekend, buddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I hope you guys had a wonderful time on the show, and I want to say this real quick. I'm really excited for the 28 families who received their keys to their new home from the minister, Keith Bell. Government's delivering on our program. And that's what we need more of, 28 families received. That's what we're going to have to do if we want to better the country. But we're going to have to do more than 28 families. We have to create subdivisions. At least, you know, I think if the government say themselves, if you're elected, every 5 years, let's see if we could build at least 500 to 1,000 homes. You know, that's supposed to be the objective of a government. Every year, we're going to see if we could build 100 or 200 homes. And in your five-year period, you're supposed to say, you know what, we built close to 500 or 1,000 homes in your five-year period. It could be more, you know. It could be more. It could be 500 or 1,000 homes. And then that could be agenda-wise here in government. Create small businesses throughout the sector. Help people create and build their small business in the city community and around the community, you know. We also need to talk about how Dr. Darvall is going to really have to come down on this health problem in the country and come up with an alternative on what the BME needs to do, what we need to ban. You know, and the government needs to work on that as well, because we have high diabetes, we have a lot of cancer, we have treatment that we need to give to people who have the HIV virus and those who have AIDS, those who have cancer, those who have liver disease, dialysis machine, all this here. You know, we have the medicine, we have the fruits and vegetables. We just need to have check and balances. What comes in the country, what we're going to ban. We have that department that deals with import and export. You know, we, like the caller said, you know, we have the PIN numbers and stuff like that. What can we recall? You know, because things in the States that get recalled end up in the Bahamas, you know, and we still end up consuming them. But it's be too late. So we need that system in place where we could be immediately, effectively, to be able to remove these items off the shelf. But in the meantime, we need to grow healthy food. We need to encourage our farmers. We need to teach our kids how to eat healthy. We need to ban certain canned goods in the country. Like I said, those preservatives, some of those stuff, you know, are not good for consumption. Let me just explain it to you. So, you know, go fishing, grow your fruits and vegetables, you know, and try your best to eat healthy. All right? I mean, I'm completely out of time. Call us. But let me see if I can slip one in y'all. Call if you could. We just get one real quick, if you could. Go ahead, caller. I don't want to cut you off real quick.
Okay. Well, Mr. Brown, what I want to say today, right now, is I want to give you a homework assignment. I want you to find out how much MRI machines cost, okay, or your computer. Mm-hmm. So next week, when we tell the public how much they cost and what one person bought for himself, find out who loves who. Because if he could spend $197,000 on a car,
right,
let's find out what they have, because the MRI machines might cost $10 million for all we know.
Okay.
Let's find out what they cost.
Okay, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir. Thanks very much.
Good night.
Yeah, and it's impossible not to have an MRI machine at the Princess Margaret Hospital and stuff like that. You know, it's crazy. Like I said, we need 400 hospitals in the country. We need the clinics, again, on the Family Islands that have a high population of people, but there are ambulance, fire trucks, police station, fire station, you know, and the clinics themselves have the latest equipment. We need dentistry on the Family Islands. There's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be dealt with in the country. And again, I'm going to say this, Brendan McGartney, you know, sir, you asking the Bahamian people for a big, big task, I think it's only beneficial to you and your desire. So leave the Bahamian people out of this. And to the Prime Minister, sir,
You talking about you inherit? Yes, sir, you inherit. Yes, sir. But you know way a long time ago the conditions of the healthcare system, the hospital, the unemployment, the crime, all that. You know about all that, sir. So you're supposed to be hard. You're supposed to have preparation in place, okay? You're doing a fantastic job. You might, your government might win in the next general election. If Branwell, one insists that Dr. Human Menace needs the oats, Michael Pintard, I don't see the Free National Movement going nowhere because, honestly speaking, a lot of people don't even remember and don't want to hear nothing with Dr. Hubert Alexander Menace no more in this life. So, Mr. Brandon McGartney, if you're looking for us to buy into that, well, good luck to you. I can tell you one thing. My grandmother died in the Princess Margaret, my grandmother was passed away in the Princess Margaret Hospital. We had admit her out the hospital, and she died home peacefully because she said she didn't want to die in the Princess Margaret Hospital. And there are so many of our grandmothers and mothers and sisters who went up in that gurney, in that accident emergency. And some were PLP, some were FN, and the majority were none. And they still suffered the same. They still suffered the same. And if you who out there want to be promoting these political parties, which is all good, right? But you have an understanding that at the end of the day, the Princess Margaret Hospital is there for us. Brave Davis ain't going there. All right? Human Menace ain't going there. Okay? Those who get millions and millions of dollars, you know who's going there? Let me tell you who's going there to be on a gani for 3-4 days looking up at the light. Me and you and the poor. So think about that. The poor. All right? So, Mr. McGartney, when you're looking for leadership in the country, in this country, you better have intentions of serving the Bahamian people 100%. That deals with healthcare, that deals with improving the quality of life, that means dealing with the housing issue, that means dealing with the high cost of living, you know, dealing with crime. You understand? So I want to say, I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. I want to say thanks to all the callers. You guys did a wonderful job. And I just want to say this. The Commission of Police is saying that, you know, we need tougher gun sentence. Died on violence against women, a wake-up call. How to die on woman could be a wake-up call when we have 100 murders per year. See, y'all people, y'all can't be thinking straight. Sends an alarm. 1 in 4 women victim of violent crime in the country. What do you expect? Okay? All these things tie in to our problem. The family structure is being destroyed, and we have to find a way on how we could change the mindset of our females and our males. Now you're saying a data on violence against women, a wake-up call? When it was a wake-up call? When these women bring these male children into the world without a father figure. Eventually, the family structure is destroyed. Eventually, the same men who don't have a father to teach them how to address a woman will eventually be violent towards a woman because they don't know how to deal with anger management. They don't know how to deal with love. They don't know how to deal with forgiveness. All right? The only thing they act to is reaction, and that's anger. And the Bahamas is a violent society. And the World Health Organization says that most kids, boy or girl, who grows up in a single-parent home is 90% to 100% be abusive mother or father in that lot of years. So how could this be an alarm in our country? We just keep on going backwards. Okay, so we're completely out of time. I hope you enjoyed the show on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. And see you next week on Guardian Radio. And to all the callers, you guys are awesome and hope to see you next week. Y'all have a wonderful Friday. And just remember, I am here to speak for the Bahamian people. For those who don't have a voice, I am here. I am no PLP, no FNM, but I will support any party that has programmed that is beneficial to the Bahamian people. But I will not sit here and allow our leaders, whether you're a prime minister, whether you're the commissioner of police, whether you're an opposition leader, or whether you're someone in this society, to be playing ping pong with the Bahamian people when you know the suffering going on in this country. For your self-benefit and your party, no. Wake up, Bahamian people. Remember, the morgue is full and needs to be rebuilt. We have our deceased in the morgue for 2, 3 months, 6 months, 7 months. overfill. Okay? We have your parents in the hospital without a hospital bed. Think about it. So I'll see you next week on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. Good night, everyone. Enjoy.
La 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 la.